We're going to get all sort of Advent-y next week for in the run-up to Christmas, but I'm just going to finish off talking about prophecy, which we've been talking about over the last few weeks. And actually, just as a little recap, and last week we had the lady come from CAP, if you missed it, this Christians Against Poverty. And then 3 weeks ago we had my friend Evan come to speak about creation and science and all kinds of things. But I don't know if you're here for both of them, I don't know if you noticed, but at the beginning of both of them when they spoke, they came and spoke something about us as a church. Do you remember? Who's here?
Sorry.
Who's even listening? Thank you, Jamie. Well, they were very affirming of the church in what we were doing. And in fact, what they said was almost not identical, but it was very similar in that with a small church, God is doing some great things with a small church, effectively. Okay? Yeah? And I just thought it was interesting that one was a stranger to me, Evan, you know, is a good friend of mine, but the lady who came last week didn't know us from Adam and Eve. But they both said something very similar. Now, I would say that there's a prophetic something in that. I'm just saying that is God speaking to us here and now and just encouraging us that what you're doing is good, keep going. A bit like actually when Demetrius, you know, keep going, I'm with you. That's that kind of thing that God spoke to Demetrius. And it's actually when the going gets tough sometimes, you need to hear that, don't you? Because you think, am I doing the right thing? Is this like completely off the wall somewhere? But actually, God spoke to us and said, you're doing all right, keep going. So I'm just saying, that's what prophecy is all about, in the sense. It's not just telling the future. I mean, it is that sometimes. But it's also God speaking to us now through various different means and speaking to the situation here. Whatever he's saying. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, that's what we've been talking about, prophecy. Now, we looked at it a couple of weeks ago, and we noticed that actually in the Bible, prophecy is singled out as one of the things that the scriptures are telling us, go for this. This is an important thing. Go for this thing. And I want to keep encouraging you, keep asking God that we would prophesy, that you might go into a situation or you might meet somebody and you might say something, and you might not even realize you're saying prophecy, but it actually that God is speaking through you, and that actually brings some hope, some transformation, some whatever message to that person. Okay? Because God wants to speak to us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know more of what he's doing. And it's important that we're listening. Right, I'm going to read now from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you've got a Bible, you can follow along. And we're just going to finish this little passage off. And then we're going to have lunch. So 1 Corinthians 14 from verse 13 says this. Okay. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? You may well be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in church I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, stop thinking like children in regard to evil. Be infants, but in your thinking be adults. In the law it is written, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners I will speak to these people, but even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say, you're out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he'll be convinced by all that he is a sinner, and he'll be judged by all, and the secret of his hearts will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at most three should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. We'll leave it there. Now, we have talked, as well as prophecy, we have talked about speaking in tongues. Okay? And I know some people here just think, speaking in tongues, that's a bit strange. And what I mean by speaking in tongues is God giving us, excuse me, a language that we don't know, and we just speak this language in prayer. We don't know what we're saying, and nobody else knows what we're saying, but it is from God. And I know that to some of us, that's a bit odd. In fact, I know for myself, when I first heard it, I wanted to run a mile and thought, this is a bit strange. Not really for me. And I would have to say that this passage, to a certain extent, agrees that actually speaking in tongues is speaking a language that you don't know and nobody else knows is a bit odd in church. I think it's actually agreeing with us. But I want to give you this encouragement. In verse 5, we didn't read this earlier, but in verse 5 it says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. There is a purpose to it. And I think we should ask God for that, because as we looked at previously, that these tongues edify us. They build us up as we pray in tongues. So I'm not against praying in tongues, okay? I think it opens us up to the Holy Spirit and God's working in us. Now you may not understand them, but I just want to encourage you that they're good for you. It's like eating your vegetables. But in verse 5 it also says, I would like everyone to speak in tongues, but even more so to prophesy. And the reason for that is that although tongues are a wonderful gift, and they're good for us as individuals, we pray them, actually prophecy is a better gift for the church, because when somebody prophesies, like that, for instance, when the lady came last week and said, you're doing a great job as a church, and that's from God, everyone gets that, and we're encouraged. You see? And so prophecy is something where God speaks to us clearly, and we're all encouraged by it. And so when the church gets together, when we're gathered together, the whole point of this is that we know God more. Like I said this morning. And so when someone speaks a word of prophecy and we can all hear it and we all understand it, then we're all built up because we've met with God. And actually, this chapter really describes something about church which is important for us, because it's actually saying that when we get together, it's important that we realize we're together. Because if we all got together and just started praying in tongues and did our own thing, and that's all we did, I could have done that at home. You know, Margaret's praying in tongues, and Margaret's praying in other tongues, and I'm praying in tongues, and, well, we could be just doing that on our own. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but actually when we come together, I need to hear something in English, because then I understand English, and Margaret needs to hear something in English, so that we can all be built up, and that's where prophecy is better than speaking in tongues. Does that, in the church context, does that make sense? And actually what it's describing here is that actually church is less about individuals and their faith, but it's more about us together as a body. Because Christianity is all about the body. It's all about church. You don't find Jesus just with individuals, but you find him in the church. And so prophecy is important to that. And as it says here, I think the important thing is that we get to a point where we can all say amen, meaning I agree with that. So if Cherry says something and we know, right, this is from God, and we can all say yes, amen, I agree what she said is from God, and we can all join in with that. But if she's going away on tongues, which is great, she's being edified, but actually I can't say yes or no to it. I don't know what she's saying. Unless, it says here, somebody interprets what she's saying. So that's important as well, that we seek for that, because that's a good thing as well. So actually this passage, first and foremost, is giving us a very high view of church, because it's about relationship, it's about community. It's important that when we get together, we're all part of what's going on. Did you notice that? Actually, it's important that when we get together, everyone is included. And that we're not sort of having, and this can be the case when we're talking about spiritual things. Sometimes it's like, oh, well, there's one group here who have got the spiritual stuff, and then there's another group over there, and they are alienated. But no, it's everybody joining in so we can all say amen. And Paul says, I would rather say 5 words that you understand than 10,000 words that sound spiritual that you don't understand. So prophecy is a gift given to unify the church so that we can all hear from God and understand it and go, yeah, that's it. That's good. And then he speak, and we spoke a little bit about this last week, but actually he speaks about how this can be done, because actually you might think to yourself, and you might think, oh goodness, how does this work? But if we might say, well, just anybody can speak now according to the Spirit, and you might think that just sounds like utter chaos. And it could be utter chaos. But in verse 26 it says, what should we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each one has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a story that about being raised from the dead. Oh, well, could be. A tongue, interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church is built up. So here's the idea. When we come together, we have something to bring. A bit like what Graham was saying, actually. You know, we've all got a story to tell. It may not be as dramatic as what Demetrius has shared with us this morning, but it's still a story. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, Dennis has just shared his story, but somebody invited him to a Christmas carol service. But that's not the most dramatic story, but it's dramatic for him, because his life's different now as a result of it. And so actually he's quite excited about telling that story, and so that's what grips people, not the story itself, actually, in reality. So when we come together, we want to come with something prophetic, because actually there's something prophetic in that. When God's speaking to us, there's something prophetic in that. So we come with that. And I think that really challenges the way we do church and the way pretty much everybody does church, if I'm honest. Because on the whole, we wait for somebody like me to stand up and bring the word. Now, don't get me wrong, I think preaching's good, otherwise I wouldn't be standing here. But we tend to think, okay, I'm going to come to church and I'm going to wait for Rich to say something. Can usually be the way of things, if we're honest. Let's be honest. Did anybody else come here this morning thinking, I've got a whole sermon to preach? You know. So it kind of challenges that, and it also challenges, because it says bring a hymn, bring a song. Well, it kind of challenges, we usually wait for either Emma or me or whoever's leading worship to bring the songs, right? On the whole. But actually what it's saying is like, come as the body, come as the church, and prophetically bring things that God has given you. And if you've got a song but you don't know how the tune goes, then just whisper it in somebody who can sing his ear. You know, come say to Emma, can we do this one? I think God's given me this song. That's all right. Okay. So it's not just a case of everyone pitching in, but it's the Spirit leading us as well. The Spirit's leading us and giving us things to bring to the church. I remember a long time, do you remember John Garrett, who a lot of you won't know, actually, but there's a guy who used to come to the church, and he died a couple of years ago now, unfortunately, but he came, and he preached a sermon. I just remember the sermon was, what do you have in your hand? And it was all about, sometimes we're looking to bring some great, you know, whatever, but I can't remember the exact illustration, but it was like a grain of salt, or there's some handful of flour or something, and he said, bring that, what do you have in your hand? What has God given you? Sometimes we're searching for something that is beyond us, but it's actually here in our midst a lot of the time. Spirit-filled. And the aim is that the church is strengthened, the aim is the church is built up, and it says here in verse 26, it says, everything must be done so the church is built up. Everything must be done. I think you can take that two ways. Everything that we do must be for building up the church, but also let's do everything we can to build up the church. So the emphasis and the responsibility lies with you guys as well as me. And then there's some quite specific instructions, which we won't go into now, about how we hear prophecy and how we we take turns and we defer to the weaker ones usually. It's sort of saying if there's somebody standing up and they're prophesying, but maybe they're a bit of a loud mouth. You have to recognize that sometimes, you know, some of us speak more than others. I don't know who that might be. But if there's somebody quieter, but you can just tell that they've got something to say, you just say, okay, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to let this person speak. Anyway, it goes into that. I'm going to finish off. There's a tricky bit here. I don't know if you... Did you realize there was a tricky bit in this? Or did you notice? Have you ever read this? This has bothered me since I was at least... I was at university, remember, when I first read this, Elizabeth, and I thought, this just doesn't make sense. If you look in verse 22, it says, tongues are a sign for unbelievers. And then in verse 23, it says, if you unbelievers hear tongues, they'll say you're out of your mind. And then it says in verse 22, prophecy is for believers, not unbelievers. But then in verse 24, it says, if an unbeliever hears prophecy, they'll be convicted of sin and realize God is amongst you. That doesn't make sense. Is the Bible... It just doesn't seem to make sense. It seems to be contradicting one another, those verses. And people have even gone to the point, some of the people that write on, the interpreters write, they say, well, maybe the copyist who wrote it out from the original language got this bit wrong. He kind of switched the tense the wrong way around. Nobody has a straightforward answer for it. But I think the point of this idea, it says that tongues are a sign. It quotes a bit of Isaiah, and actually... Sometimes signs are a good sign and sometimes signs are a bad sign. I think sometimes actually when people get freaked out by tongues, the sign is that they just are going to be freaked out by God. And so they run a mile. And that's the sign. It's kind of it's a negative sign, not a positive one. But I think those who have even if they're unbelievers at the moment, those who have an open heart to God, who tongues will do something and speak to them. And I think... Here again, the emphasis on prophecy is that prophecy, I can't really give you a great answer for all of this, but what I can say is that what it's saying here is prophecy has a twofold function. It is for building up the church, but it also is to speak to people that don't yet know God but want to know God. Not the ones that are hard-hearted and don't really want to know. They'll never listen, whatever language you speak to them. But actually, prophecy in the church, those who don't yet know God will hear that, and they will be convicted, and they will turn to God. And you know that there are some kinds of people when you just think, how on earth is this person going to get to hear from God? But actually then it's only when God speaks to them and gives them a word of prophecy that their heart is unlocked, because they think, how on earth did you know that? I was like that as a kid. When I was at school, the chaplain, I think I might have said this before, he would get up in assemblies, and he would be preaching. Well, we wouldn't call it preaching in an assembly. He would be speaking, I'm thinking, how does he know this about me? Bucky was kind of like, not talk to anybody else, it's just got me at the back. Like, how does he know this stuff? And that was just God speaking to me prophetically, just pinning me to the wall, really. My pastor in my first church, well, he had a very prophetic gift. In fact, every time he said, can we meet up? And you think, oh no, what's God said to him this time? You know, if there's another secret of my heart, he's... And he'd kind of sort of, yeah, okay, well, what's God said this time? You know? And that's what prophecy does. It builds up the believers, and also for those who are unbelievers but are looking for God. It talks about here that when you gather together as a church, there'll be people that will come in, they'll be like inquirers, there'll be unbelievers who'll come in and they're kind of like, what's going on here? Now, if they just hear just people talking in tongues, they're going to go, I have no idea what's going on here. It's all nonsense. They'll probably go out the door and think, I don't know, maybe I should read a book or something, but I don't understand that. But if they hear someone speak something clearly that is prophetic and they say, yes, that's God and he's speaking to me, then they turn around. I was talking to Peter, my mentor, and he was saying to me, he said, this lady came to a prayer meeting, and it's kind of along these lines, and she said, I just had this vivid image of a jar of Marmite, nothing else. Just, I knew it was from God, I had no other information. So she kind of like, it's one of those things, do I say this? Do I not? This seems to me like it's from God, but it also seems like it's nonsense, but it is in English. So she said, I've got this picture of John Marmite. And a lady in the group said, yeah, that's speaking to me. And she had thrown a jar, in anger, she'd thrown a jar of Marmite at her husband that morning. And she obviously needed to sort something out. And God had spoken to her. Now, how did God know that? I mean, no, sorry, how did that person know that? Well, God spoke it to her. Jar of Marmite. And sometimes we will say something which we just, I'm just going to have to say this, and it will be something that, whether we're believers or unbelievers, and it will just speak to us. Yeah, pin you to the wall. And you'll know that God is here and he's speaking to you. And when we know, when we do that, we know that this is what we've been talking about all the time. The kingdom of heaven is near. God is near. He's not far off. He knows us. And he's not doing it just to kind of make us feel bad, but actually he wanted that man and that woman, that relationship, to be sorted and not for the anger to be dealt with and to be healed. He didn't want to sort of go, ha, 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 look, you for Marmite, your husband, you know. He wants healing in those situations, right? That's why he's bringing it up. If anyone has thrown Marmite at their spouse this morning, anyway, let's just turn to finish. Turn with me to John chapter 4, because this is what Jesus does. You might know this story. While you're turning there, if you've got a Bible, you know this is a story where Jesus, he deliberately takes a shortcut that no other Jew would have taken in that time, and he walks through Samaria, and he meets a Samaritan woman at the well, and he asks her for a drink, which was unheard of in those days. And they get into this conversation about living water, and Jesus, you know, having asked her for the drink, he says to her, you know, I can give you living water. And then, so I'm going to read from verse 16. He told her, go call your husband. This is what Jesus says to this woman. And come back. And the woman says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man now you have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. The woman says, sir, I can see you are a prophet. See what's going on here? And then she says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. And then Jesus goes on and he starts talking, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is of the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers that the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now here you have, Jesus meets this woman. He's never met her before. She's never met him before. She's got all kinds of secrets. And you can go into the story and you can see something was going on. She's a reject from her community. She's drawing water when nobody else is drawing water. But Jesus doesn't know anything about her, but he meets her and he says, go and call your husband. And she tries to keep the secrets. Well, I don't have a husband. He says, yeah, you're right. You've had five husbands and the guy you're with now, he's not even married to you. Now, he's not pulling her up on, you know, any of that, other than actually he's just saying, I know you more than you realize. I know you. I'm God. I know you. And this is the thing sometimes, you know, I did a gig last night and, sorry, I'm going off a bit like Randy Clark chasing rabbits here, but I'll just tell you this one. And this guy, I was introduced to this guy and he said, oh, what do you do during the week? And I said, well, actually, I don't play music. I'm a church minister. And he, oh, I better mind my language. It's like, do you ever get that? As if like suddenly your presence in the room changes the way, as if you are God yourself. And you can say what you like, really. I mean, God's still hearing that, whether I'm here or not. I don't know if you realize. I always like when people come into church as well, as if like suddenly they have to behave differently in here than they do out that thing. Swear all you like out there, but can't say it in here. Well, God knows. This is what Jesus was demonstrating. I'm demonstrating that I know what Graham's thinking now. If he's thinking, oh, I wish he'd hurry up and get on, I need my lunch, then God knows that. I don't know that. He's putting on a very good face to tell me otherwise. But you know, God knows that. And that's what Jesus, he comes and he meets this woman and he says, I know you. Now, I've read this story before, and I've always thought the woman is a bit devious, and she kind of changes the subject, because, like, rather than kind of go, well, she says, how do you know, basically, how do you know that? You must be a prophet. But then she says, tell me, I want to know how to worship. How do we do this? And to me, that sounds like she's changing the subject. I've always thought that, you know? He's nailed her, I know you. And then she says, right, let's talk about theology. How should we worship? You do this and we do that, and how do we worship? But actually, if you read in 1 Corinthians what we just read, that when God speaks and people who don't yet know him are convicted in their heart, it says they will then fall down and worship and say, God is amongst you. I think that's what this... I'm reading this story again, and I'm thinking, this is what this woman was saying. It's like, goodness, you must be more than I realise. I need to know how to worship. Tell me how I do this. I'm reading it in a different way now, because I think this is what's going on. And she says, tell me how to respond, now knowing that you are God and you do know me inside out, and I have... And so when God speaks prophetically, heaven comes to earth. We realize that actually God is a lot closer than we thought. You know, we thought God was distant, and we thought we could probably hide a few things. I mean, what did Adam and Eve do when they sinned? Let's just tie a couple of fig leaves together and hide in the bushes, and he won't see us. God, when God says, where are you? I think he knew. He was just trying to give them an opportunity to come and sort of show themselves, yeah? God knows us. He knows us. And actually, that's not something we should be frightened of, because actually through Jesus, we're made right with him. So actually, now we're made right with him and he knows us, then why would we want to hide? But actually, too often, we're kind of hiding, and actually God wants to speak to us, and he wants to say, encourage us, and he wants to show us stuff. And so he wants to speak to us prophetically, and he wants to show us things that we didn't know. Not so that we can just look like we're spiritual or clever, but so that we can display God. And I think, particularly when it comes to people who do not know him yet, the prophetic gift is so important. That's why I'm sharing it. I think, let us grow in this. Not to encourage one another, but also that there may be people that we meet on the street, and God might say, I need to heal their broken marriage. It might be a Marmite jar thing. And he might give you something to say to that person, and they'll say, how did you know that? Well, God's given it to me, and he wants you to be healed. You might not know, but God knows that they've got financial problems. You might not know, but God knows that they've fallen out with their mum. You might not know, but God knows that they've got terminal illness. He might want to speak that to you so you can speak that to them so that they can be transformed and changed. So, I encourage you. Let me read you the last verse of chapter 14. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians 14. Sorry, don't like bouncing around the Bible. But it says here, last thing now. I've said that three times, I realise, but this definitely is. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Verse 39, that is. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Yes, speak in tongues. Go for it. But also be eager to prophesy. Because it will strengthen me, it will strengthen you, it will strengthen the church, and it will also bring the word of God to people that need it out there, wherever you are. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I ask again that you would fill us with your Spirit and pour out your Spirit on us, that we would know you more and hear your voice. I want to pray here, as we're all here now, that you would just pour your Spirit on us, so that we would have things where we would hear your words, we would see visions as we've heard testimony of this morning, we would see pictures as we've heard testimony of this morning, we'd hear and see visions and dreams, so that we would know what you are saying and speak it to the church and the people around us. We want to know you more, and we want to ask that you would speak to us clearly so that we may speak to those around us, so that they and we would hear your voice and know that you are with us and that you are speaking into our lives. Jesus, we're encouraged by the fact that you knew that woman so well at the well. You know us, but you also know everybody here and you know everybody around. And so we pray, give us the things you want to say to them so that we may speak them and just be your ministers and your agents in this world around us. Teach us your ways, we ask. Teach us your ways. Thank you, Lord. Amen.